cold open. I have it written down here that you have a cold open for us.
No, I don't. Was I supposed but to?
I don't know, but I do have it written down. I did write it down.
That I was going to do a cold open.
In handwriting as well. Not even typewriting. Handwriting.
Cursive?
What does that mean?
Isn't like that's not printing. That's like the actual writing.
Oh, I use block letters.
Comic Sans.
I wish I was joking, but I actually, whenever I write, I pretty much print.
Bubble letters?
Yeah, a lot of smiley faces. I dot my I's with a heart.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 125 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Did I ever tell you whenever you say that, I take a drink of coffee?
No, you didn't tell me that, but thanks for telling me now.
P.S. I did tell you that. Thanks for remembering.
Really?
I don't know.
You never listened to me.
I know. It's going to get real this week, guys, in a very special episode. We have the girl from Blossom going to come by. Talk about that.
And the funny thing is you probably know her actual name.
I actually do. Although, okay, to be fair, I've never actually seen an episode of Blossom.
Well, what's her name?
I don't know it because it's a unique name.
Isn't she on that sitcom now? The one with the geeks that like superhero stuff. I suck for not knowing the name of it.
I don't know that one. I don't know that one either.
But you know, it's like always a top rated sitcom, and
I think I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it. It's not one of the ones on my radar. Okay. I'm not even playing you. I honestly don't know.
But you know the like what I'm getting at.
I've seen some stuff about some geeks. And I assume it's not Glee.
No, they're like teachers of some sort, but okay. They're all into superheroes and geeky stuff and the Big Bang Theory, that's what it's called. Okay. Big Bang Theory. You know what I'm talking about now.
I've heard of the name.
Okay.
But I'm not familiar with it. It's not on Netflix.
Okay.
So therefore, thus, the German guy. Oh, boy. Derailed right. Early.
Yeah. Is there any way we can go back in time, like 38 seconds?
That's a whole different movie. Yeah. Amazon.
Yep.
You know what to do. You know how Amazon works, right?
It's a thing, yeah.
It's a thing. Well, when you buy something on Amazon, if you click through the Two Hosers website, we get rich.
Awesome.
Yeah. So anyone who would like to help the show out, and guess what? People are helping the show out. We say it every week, but I'm amazed. Like, I don't go through all the data or anything like that, but I can see that people are actually doing it. And on like I said before, small purchases. So it's kind of those things that they add up, and people take the time to do it. We appreciate it.
Awesome, yes.
So not only keep doing it, but double down. Buy stuff you don't even need. Expensive stuff, preferably.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then just sell it on eBay or Craigslist for a loss. That's fine, but P.S., we win on that one.
Yeah.
So just something to think about. Probably a bad business decision on your part.
Right.
So maybe don't do it. Adam.
Yes.
What is run up for Down syndrome?
A run up for Down syndrome. That is a fundraising event that they host here. The Down Syndrome Society of Vancouver hosts a special event every year, and my wife and I and our kids participate. I have a nephew, Declan, who has Down syndrome. He is four years.
In the States, that's pronounced Declan.
Declan, okay, sure, Declan.
Declan.
He's 4 years old, and my nephew who has Down syndrome. And so every year we participate in this event to help raise money for their foundation, which is really all about supporting and empowering children and adults with Down syndrome, trying to help them with programs and education that will make them have empowered, fulfilling lives in the community. So my wife and I are trying to garner some small donations. So if anyone is interested, it's a good cause. We will post a link on our site for Declan's team. We're on Team Declan.
So what are you going to do? Like, what does that involve?
Basically, it's a walk. They usually have two different distances, a 1 kilometer and I believe a 5 kilometer walk. And you can walk, you can run, you can pull a wagon, which is usually what happens with our kids. I think the first year we went for the longer one and carried our children for 5 kilometers, which was far too long. So now we do the 1 kilometer one, and usually they walk, or we'll take turns in the wagon and walk part of it. And yeah, we walk with Declan and his sister and parents. And a bunch of other family members. So usually we get a good sized team of anywhere between 10 and 15 people. This is year number 4 for us. Declan has turned 4. He's 4 and a half now, and we've done it ever since year 1. So it's a good time and a very good cause.
And if people donate, can they look forward to seeing some photos of the event?
Absolutely. Last year I was pretty new to the 70 to 200 millimeter lens, and I had a field day out there taking pictures. So I definitely intend to take some pictures. So I promise to post pictures of the event, whether or not people donate.
Yeah, so, I was going to say that. Yeah. That's the thing. You're going to see pictures anyways.
Yes.
And it looks like a pretty good event. Like, it looks like a lot of enthusiasm going on out there.
Yeah, and they do actually have a couple of pro photographers that are out and about shooting for the event. So I like to do better than they do.
You should take pictures of them. That's what
it's
you should
do. My whole goal is to make them look bad.
Absolutely. That's a reasonable goal on such a nice event.
Yeah, so there you go.
We'll post a link on our site, and we look forward to the pictures of that event.
Great.
When is that? That's coming up next week?
Yes, it's next weekend.
Okay. What does that
Don't
mean?
Ask me for dates because I know it's next weekend, so that's it.
Did you go to Seattle last week, Adam?
Bellevue, close to Seattle.
Did you really go?
Yes.
But you dodged the bridge incident.
Yes, we were back well before that happened.
The for those of you who didn't hear, a bridge collapsed on the I-5, the Interstate Highway number 5.
Mm-hmm. Big highway.
And that's the highway linking the border from where Vancouver is all the way down to the border where Tijuana is.
Right.
Did I pronounce that right?
Sure.
Border. That's how I say it.
Yep.
And, so that's the road that goes all the way down. That's the road that Adam takes, thrice weekly on his Seattle trips.
Right.
And that bridge, you've been over that bridge many times.
I have. Yep.
As have I. I've been over that many times. So I'm glad no one appears to be hurt very badly. So
that's good.
Especially you.
Yes. No, I was unharmed.
Great. Flickr upgraded. Did you see this?
I actually did, and I didn't know what was going on, but a whole new interface. It looks way better.
It does look better. They're offering a ton of new space, so you don't have to upgrade to Pro anymore if you don't want to.
Right.
I think upgrading to Pro kills the ads, maybe. I haven't really looked into it. I got to tell you, I don't know how this is going to affect my life. I don't use Flickr that much aside from the show. And it's kind of only one of the few places that people can access our stuff.
Right. Yeah, I haven't really. That was the first time I've been on Flickr this week. Was the first time in probably a month.
Yeah. Yes. My only, you know, comment on the Flickr upgrade is they probably should have done it 2 years ago, and they probably would have been leading the pack now. I don't know if they're even, because they were the first out of the gate to really be good at hosting shared photos back in the day.
Yeah,
and they're not the only game in town anymore. And I don't know if they're the most popular, or like some people like it, some people don't. So I don't know whether. If this is going to make them, you know, take them into Google territory, who knows? Not you?
Okay. No, not me.
Okay. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I didn't take my camera with me to Bellevue, so there's a few weekend days, which are my available shooting days, where I did not have a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the week, I did not. But rather than talk about what did I shoot, why don't we talk about what did I buy while I was away on holidays?
I have that written down. Hey, did you buy stuff? That's a question I have ready to ask.
Yeah, how about I answer that question, because okay. It's more interesting.
Certainly.
So we went to Bellevue, and there's a Cameras West in downtown Bellevue, and I was afforded a small window of time by myself, kid-free, to peruse the camera store. And I didn't really have exactly anything in mind, but I just thought I'd sort of see where the wind blew.
When you do take a kid, like I've taken my kid into the camera store before.
Right.
And you pretty much, that's a on daddy's shoulders store.
Yeah.
There's no running free in that store.
No, true enough.
Because wow, are you buying a lot of broken stuff at that point?
Yeah, and my kids are a little older, so they're fine to take, but I just know my window of opportunity is much shorter mm-hmm. if they're in there, so I prefer to go to these places without children. So mm-hmm. I did. And I bought a camera strap. So I bought a Black Rapid Curve RS7 strap. It was one of those things that I had sort of been in the back of my mind thinking about when I saw them in person and I tried it on. I thought, oh, I got to get one of these. It's very comfortable. I'm a physiotherapist, and how my body feels is kind of an important thing. And carrying the camera around my neck on the factory strap that comes with the camera, mm-hmm. especially with the 70 to 200 on it, is not comfortable. It bugs the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally decided that I was going to make a body decision and buy one of these straps, and it is so comfortable. So I bought the strap, and I also bought an ND filter, which was something that I'd been thinking about for a while, but I bought a variable ND filter.
Okay.
So it's the Hoya. Instead of calling it an ND filter, they call it a variable density filter, because it's basically two circular polarizers, like, you know, on top of each other.
Okay.
So again, I think there's a little bit of debate as to whether it's truly neutral density or not, but it is awesome nonetheless. And it was such a good deal. Like, I kind of had priced them out, and I don't know if the camera guy like made a mistake, but the retail price, the lowest price I could find for it anywhere in the US for a 58 millimeter, which is what I wanted. I was going to use it for my 50 millimeter 1.4 lens and for the 85 1.4, which, as you know, mm-hmm. are both 58 millimeters,
mm-hmm.
Was, I think the retail is about 130. That's what B&H sells it for. That's what all the camera shops sell for. And when I asked him how much it was, because he didn't have a price on it, and he looked it up, he said it was $77. I said, sold. Give it to me.
I'll take 10. Hurry up. Pack them.
I wasn't going to buy it for 130, but for 77, I mean, and it's a Hoya filter, and I'd read the reviews, which were all very positive. I said, yep, sign me up. And yeah, so I just did a little bit of experimenting with it today. So as far as the shoot something interesting, it was playing with some, I didn't really do long exposures, but I did shooting at 10 a.m. in the morning in the bright sun,
uh-huh.
and being able to, you know, shoot with flash at a, you know, underneath the max sync speed, and shoot it at like an ISO of 2.8 or 2.2, and just get portraits that look like, you know, they're shot in the evening, mm-hmm. at golden hour at 10 in the morning. So it again, I'm going to post those on the Facebook page, especially one particular shot I took, which I can't believe that it was shot at 10 in the morning underneath the bright sun. So
that's it. We have a whole new episode coming up eventually about ND filters now.
Yeah.
And I was going to wait until you got yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. And you have one too?
Yeah, I do. I have it. Well, mine's fixed. It's a ND6.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. So I will experiment with it a little bit more, and I certainly want to try some daytime long exposures and some waterfalls and stuff. I just have to go find a waterfall to shoot. So
that's a day trip, buddy.
Yeah, I actually think we're gonna go this weekend to Lynn Canyon. So
okay, that's even closer than what I was thinking.
Okay, where were you thinking? Niagara Falls?
Niagara Falls, yeah. I would recommend just stay with Don.
Yeah.
He'll put you up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, what's the one on the way? Bridal Falls.
Bridal Falls.
On the way up to Whistler.
Yeah.
Up to Squamish.
Yeah.
Very much. Your kids are probably too young to hike the Chief yet.
Yeah.
Although you can do the backside, you could do part of it. I don't know if that's interesting, but that's something I like to do, is drive up there, stop at the falls, hike the Chief, and then come down and jump in that lake that's just not too far from there.
Okay.
But the falls are good. It's a good spot. Like you get some good photos. So.
Yeah, and I'm really anxious to try it out. So yeah, so just that's it. I'm done for interesting stuff. How about you?
Well, what's the variation on the ND filter? Where does it go from X to Y?
Again, I don't really know how the units work. It says 9 stops, and it says from 300 to 400, but I don't really know what the 300 to 400, what the units of measurement are.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it basically says at max it'll block 9 stops of light.
That is a lot.
Yeah, I don't know that 9 stops will be necessary for what my intended purpose is, but And I know people say there's issues when you go to the full 9 stop end of the spectrum, you can get sort of different kind of color problems showing up.
Sure.
But 9 stops is what it claims on the box.
Well, 9 stops is one stop short of your lens cap. So.
Yeah. And that's what it looks like when you put it all the way to max, as you can't see through it. Now, interestingly enough, the great thing again about those Yong Nuo triggers is it's got the focus assist beam. Mm-hmm. And when you're shooting with, you know, that ND filter closed pretty close down, you can't focus without that focus assist beam. So
right.
Rather than having your flash mounted on camera, just having that on there is awesome.
Now,
again, another reason to buy it on Amazon.
In that situation, what I would do, good call. In that situation, yeah. What I would do, oh boy, should we talk about it? Let's talk about this on the show when we do the ND.
We can talk about it, but again, just so people don't know I'm a complete idiot, you can just open it up.
It's a variable. That's what I'm going to say. That's a good tip that's going to be the bulk of our show.
I think most people would figure that one out.
No chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would dial it open,
yeah,
focus, and then pull it shut. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, won't bother
but
with that.
But
that
doesn't sell Yong Nuo triggers, buddy.
Oh, well, you can buy these filters on Amazon as well.
That's true. I think you probably can.
You can buy almost anything on Amazon, except baseball pants. I had to buy baseball pants on some other website.
Oh, can I mention one more thing interesting that I shot?
Yes.
I came through. I know there's probably not a lot of people out there who listened to last week's episode who believed that I would actually make a video of the setup of the Qbox 24 softbox.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how I sort of said, hey, I'll make a video showing how easy it is to set it up?
Yes.
I did that.
You did that. And I'm going to post that. I have a little bit of sweetening to do.
Right,
with some titles and whatnot, and I'll post that in the next couple of days. So probably by the time you hear this, Adams, I watched the first little bit, and at first I thought, wow, this is kind of like an old Bruce Lee movie, in that you're really buff.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No. That the lip sync was off, but it's you recorded it later.
I did. I recorded the audio later.
What happened? What was wrong with the scratch track? What was wrong with the audio on scene?
Well, the funny thing was, as I was recording that video, I went out to Gary Point, my favorite place, and I did the video there, except for about 100 meters beside me, they're filming the new Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an absolute production going on with, you know, the guys on a microphone. I guess I'm assuming the director is on this microphone and he's directing this scene, which has got, again, this is 10:30 in the morning, keep in mind, a huge kind of naval ship that's on land on hydraulics, and they're firing these big gusts of water, which I guess it's supposed to be, you know, on the water in a night scene, and the waves are crashing over the boat, and then they've got like this huge kind of two or three misting machines blowing this mist over top of the boat, and all this is going on, I swear, 100 meters from me. So yeah, the audio wasn't gonna work on my I was not gonna be able to overcome that.
All right, I'm just looking at this now. It is at Godzilla here on IMDb.
Yes.
And I was right. Bryan Cranston is in it.
Great. So well, there you go.
That's all I know about it.
Yeah, so I did take a little short video. Maybe I'll post it on YouTube as sneak peek to the new Godzilla of this sort of scene going on.
All right.
And get like 3 million hits on it or something.
You could do that. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Did you walk up to the DP and show him your variable ND and say, hey, do you want to check it out? You want to borrow it?
No, I didn't. I should have, though.
That'd have been good in. He'd have been like, oh, damn, good call. Really wouldn't mind knocking down this 1030 sun.
I did consider walking into the lunch tent with all my gear and just, you know, trying to look like I was part of the deal.
Would not be difficult. Would actually, yeah. you'd be just fine. You could walk up to craft services. And as long as you called it, if you called it crafty, like yeah, that's what they'll call, hey, where's crafty?
Right.
You walk in. I'm pretty sure you'll get past anybody.
Yeah, it's quite a ordeal in Steveston. I don't know that there's ever been a production of this magnitude in the small town that is Steveston.
Yeah.
You'd probably know better, but the town is just filled with trucks and there's like a crane holding a, I don't know, 50, 75 foot by 75 foot light reflector mm-hmm. over this ship. It was a sight to see, that's for sure.
Actually, my dad was down there and told me about it as well. He said it was huge. Like, yeah, they're shooting some night scenes, and they're actually shooting night for night, which means they were flooding. It's ironic that you need that much light to shoot at, make it look like nighttime at night.
Right.
But you do need a lot of light, and the amount of light they were pumping in was just mind-blowing. But now I remember bumping into Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner and what's her name from the Friends show. Courtney Cox filmed a movie down in Steveston a few years ago.
Right.
And they were on the streets in Steveston, but probably not quite the magnitude of the Godzilla.
Yeah, I kind of at one point I sort of wanted to holler at them, keep it down. I'm also filming here.
You probably didn't have a permit though.
That's true. So. Or a microphone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good call. So, all right. Well, we'll all look forward to Godzilla in 2 years.
Yeah.
I shot baseball stuff. I'm going to get to my interesting stuff now.
Right. Sorry.
I went and shot a baseball game.
Great.
Yeah, it was obviously with the team I'm playing with, but since I cannot be on the roster for the first team, I went out and dug out my 40D for this, actually.
I thought it was broken.
It is intermittent. Like, it's broken in the fact that, yes, it's broken, but is it? Who knows? And so if you're out on a job and then it's broken, then you're out of luck. But if it works intermittently and it happens to be working, you're good to go.
Okay.
So I can't rely on it. That's what I'm saying. So I can't rely on it. So I took it and my 5D out and shot some baseball stuff. And so... when I first got there, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Like, these guys, they're going to love this. This guy, I got my 70 to 200. They're just going to be thrilled because normally it's all point and shoot stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get there and there's some dude with like a 1DX and a 600 mil lens. And I was like, okay, I'll just go sit in the back until he leaves because, like, what am I going to do? And so I guess he's from the newspaper or something like that. They still have those in Germany.
Right.
And so he shot for like, you know, half an inning and then scrammed. And then so I jumped in on the field at that point and went and shot. And I shot the 40D because it's faster in burst mode.
Okay.
And the frames per second is 6.5 versus the 5D Mark II, which is, I don't know, 4-ish something. Don't care. Less. The point is it's less.
Right.
And so you when you're trying to capture the action... You need those FPS. That's when you need the FPS right there.
Okay.
So, also, if you're going to shoot baseball, it's important to know where things are going to happen. If you kind of know the game, or it's hockey or something or whatever it is, I mean that's a little easier because stuff happens at the net.
Yes.
But yeah, it's important to know to anticipate where things are going to happen, pre-focus, and it happens there. So I'll post a couple of pictures I took. I was kind of pleased with. How it was turned out.
Okay.
And just for fun, I took my polarizer out because we briefly had some blue skies one day last week.
Yeah.
It was supposed to snow yesterday here, by the way.
And it did not?
We avoided snow. It got down to 1 degree end of May. That's nice. One. That's 1 Celsius.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I heard you.
Yeah. Awesome. But one day last week, the sun came out, so I got the polarizer out, and really had fun with that. And so I'll post a picture I took with the polarizer.
Great.
The one of the church. You've seen it, I think.
I saw it. Yeah, I like it.
Nice dark skies, clouds that pop. So,
yeah.
Last week's Exifoku. I shot mine at an f5.6, Adam at an f7.1. Once again, mine was a full stop. Adam was somewhere in the middle. I don't think any less of you, if that's what you're thinking.
Okay.
This week's challenge: hard light.
Hard.
Yeah. Let's go. And that, by hard, I mean difficult.
Okay.
Very difficult. Like no hard light. Not soft light, not diffused. So let's go with yours first.
Okay. I'm going to open it up.
Does it need any introduction? I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't.
Good.
It needs no introduction.
Let me jump in.
My daughter.
Let me jump in.
Yeah.
Love it. I got nothing to complain about here.
I'm glad.
Although she could hit the gym. She could buff up a little bit. You know. No, yeah. Absolutely not. I love everything that's going on here. My one, it's not even a criticism because I wouldn't change it, is obviously to me, the her skin tones are a little bit bright on her face, a little bit hot.
Okay.
Wouldn't change it. I'd leave it. I like what's going on there. It's a great effect. It's looks kind of like a sort of like a spotlight kind of thing, like she's in Cabaret or some other show that they wear hats. I don't know.
Yeah, I took this shot, and this is not intentional in that she was actually opening her eyes and blinked, and I just loved the effect. I took about 7 or 8 pictures in this same setup, and most of them she's got her eyes open and smiling, but I chose this one because it's just different than all the other portraits I have of my daughter.
Yeah.
And I just love the blink, and it just looks so natural.
Well, this looks like a real point and shoot picture to me.
Yeah.
No. Quite the opposite. No chance. Like this is great because I like the controlled light, the fact that it's on her and it does not barely hits the background, and where it does, it looks good. Really separate. I mean, this looks like a studio shot to me.
It's my studio.
It is your studio, but this is your living room.
Yeah, it's my living room.
All right. Like this is to me, this photo is an endorsement of why you should listen to our show.
There you go.
Because it's not like Adam, you know, after 10 weeks of doing the show, went off and, you know, went to took a college class in photography.
It did not.
You did not. Like, it's all basically week to week learning and you know, I don't think you've cheated on me. And so
no.
That's where you've got to. So this is definitely an endorsement of why you should listen to the show for free.
Wow, I appreciate it.
Also, you should try to take pictures of Adam's daughter.
She's pretty forgiving when it comes to taking pictures.
Ah, now that's interesting. Cause that's with hard light. That's where you start to see where people are flawed. You know, everyone wants soft light. Soft light's very flattering. Hard light is not. Like you have to generally start with good looking people.
Right.
Or, you know, there's a little technique to it as well. But this is great. You would not have gotten the same photo with softbox, I don't think.
No, totally. It would have been a totally different photo.
Yeah.
I agree.
So
that's just the gray background paper behind so people know.
Mm-hmm.
And one flash to camera left that's, you know, side firing basically, which is casting those shadows on the other side of her face.
Roughly what kind of an angle are we talking about, the flash?
Oh, it's pretty much straight from the side, maybe slightly in front.
Okay.
So almost directly from the side.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is flagged to try to keep as much of that light off of the paper because she's only maybe 2 feet from the paper. Again, don't have a big living room.
Okay.
And she was also partial to standing on the paper because it was seamless and it's right under her feet, but I just chose to shoot her upper body like this.
Mm-hmm. Is there any bounce coming off a wall on her left side?
On her left side, there's actually another flash.
Oh, there is. You shot two flashes.
Yeah, I did. And the thing was is that I shot two flashes for some, and again, they're both manual off camera, and I couldn't remember because I turned it off and on if this was one that had that other flash, but I'm pretty sure it does just because of that little bit of light coming in behind her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this and that other flash was turned down and it was angled different,
mm-hmm.
but I'm pretty sure a little piece of that flash is catching that paper from the back, and that's not the front flash that's catching that back paper.
I see.
On the,
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but all the other ambient is killed. Yeah.
There is quite a large ratio between these two, between the bright one,
yes,
and the dark one. But that's what I was going to suggest, that like on her left side of her, you can sort of see some detail that would probably not be present if
right.
there was no flash or bounce. Like I figured it was bounce because I didn't see any competing shadows.
Yeah, and it's just the angle difference because that other flash is not even close to the same angle. It's uh-huh. a little bit behind her.
Gotcha.
But again, yeah, I was fiddling around and trying different things, and I was working again with a 6-year-old who, you know, wanted to change her outfit. So it was, yeah, I got a little bit lost in which lighting setup this photo actually was.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I'm doing my best to remember.
Good job of hard light. That's it.
There you go.
Okay, here's mine. Here's the coach. You can see it right on his on right below his number 6 there on his shirt. It says coach, so that's how you know.
Okay.
So you know to call him coach. And not coach from Cheers, Ernie Pantuso, different coach.
Okay. I'm thinking is he the guy that you get the vodka from?
Yeah, I thought of that later on. I think that was that has been sitting in our dugout for, I don't know, months. And I think it's a sign that it was probably for the tournament where they were selling, I don't know, beer. Because they sell beer at the games, which is kind of a weird thing here. Yeah, because in Canada, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
Except for at, like, you know, Nat Bailey or something like that. But at our games when I played in Canada, there's no way. It's verboten. And so, but here it's no. Of course, they have like the glass beer mugs and everyone kind of hangs out. It's like Oktoberfest, but at the ballpark.
Right.
And so one of the things they were selling, I guess, was vodka. So I was actually considering Photoshopping that out and then thought, nah, it's kind of funny. So we'll leave it in.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I shot this at the game last week. It's the same game I shot all the action shots at. In between games, I knew I wanted to get a nice hard light photo, and it was kind of a, it wasn't a cloudy day. The clouds were in and out. It was kind of a gray day. It wasn't very nice, and I thought I would like a nice sunset, sort of sunset-y picture. So in between games, I popped a flash on a stand, put a full cut of CTO on it, and just fired it full right in the dugout. Now, it's outside the dugout, so it's shooting through the chain link fence and the sort of rafters that support and the post that supports the dugout.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of creating the little bit of shadows that you see across, like, his ear and his hat there.
Yeah.
And that's what that's from. And so this is hard light, fake sunset.
Yeah, no, I think it achieved the effect. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, I knew it was hard light because of the challenge, but it doesn't look like hard light in the traditional sense.
Mm.
And I think that maybe Roberto Luongo plays for your team back there.
Yeah, that's a trend. There's a lot of trends in baseball that I don't participate in. The other one is the long pants. I don't get the long, like, everyone goes with the long pants that sort of hang past their spikes.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure what the, thanks a lot, CC Sabathia. I don't know why. Everyone on this team does except for me. I still wear the old Jim Tomies.
Right. And they, you know, make fun of you when you're not around.
No, when I'm around.
Okay.
But they did already, like, before I even started wearing my pants like that, they were already mocking me, so I was like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm already soaking wet. Might as well just jump in the pool.
Right.
So I'm okay with it.
I like your photo. I don't have any problem with it. The only thing I noticed in the photo that I wish was not there was the big, whatever, black thing that's kind of stuffed in the cubby right sort of below where his head is. I wish that was the brown, and there would be just a little bit more of the coach standing out from the background, I think, if that wasn't there.
Yes, I agree. I would have set this up better. I actually took a couple other shots, and the whole dugout was just far too cluttered. I had some wider shots of the dugout.
Yeah.
And it was too cluttered to be interesting. And I only had a couple of minutes of a window here. And as it was, there was already a lot of, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you setting up lights?
No, I get that. The scenario, it is what it is. You're not going to rearrange everything around
until they saw them, until they saw the pictures. And then it was like, okay, coming out again? Like, that's great. Like, we want more of these. So I may have actually backed my way into a job. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's how it works. So Exivoku for these. Mine here, the baseball one, shot at ISO 100, f/5.6, shutter speed of 1/200th. What's the focal length? That's the game this week. Adams, also full frame, ISO 125, f/5, shutter speed 1/180th. What's Adams' focal length? Okay, this week's topic, if we still have time.
We're done. We're out of time.
Should we just shut her down?
Yeah.
All right. Just kind of coast to a stop. This week's topic is something called hyperfocal distance.
Okay. I don't have much to contribute because I don't know what that is. So yeah. Teach me.
We're going to learn. Now, that's the thing is I was been thinking about this for quite some time about, you know, how it applies, because I don't use it much anymore. It's one of those things where in my head, it was basically it has to do with depth of field and how depth of field works. But it turns out there's a whole technical explanation about what hyperfocal distance means. So in terms of depth of field, it's how much is... What do we think of when we talk about depth of field?
Just how quickly the background blurs away?
Right. Which means...
Or how in focus it is, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is the first thing is what is focus? Like what is defined as in focus? We have a word for it. It's called acceptable focus. So in layman's terms, what is acceptable focus?
Are you going to tell me?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? What just from what it sounds like, what does acceptable focus sound like?
I don't know. When I zoom in on it, it looks sharp.
Sure. And for the most part, it is subjective. It's whatever you feel like focus is.
Sure.
Is that in focus enough for you? That's pretty much what acceptable focus is. Now, there's a whole formula behind it dealing with something called the circle of confusion, and that's aptly named because who cares?
Okay.
It's very confusing. There's a lot of science behind it. I don't care about it. So, thus, I'm telling you, don't bother with it.
Okay.
So we have this idea of what is acceptable focus. Now, that means, you know, like you have your depth of field and maybe behind your subject, behind your focal point of your subject, behind maybe 1 foot's acceptable in focus and 1 foot in front, and that's it. Now you have your depth of field. Anything beyond there is going to be unacceptably focused.
Okay.
So that's what that is. Okay. Now, hyperfocal distance, I'll go for the quick technical term just because that seems like otherwise people will write in. If you focus your lens at infinity.
Okay.
Okay. And then you measure how far away the closest point that is in acceptably focused.
Okay.
And then divide that point in divide that distance in half. So let's say you focus at infinity.
Yeah.
You figure out that something is in focus at 6 feet. That's the cutoff point. So from infinity till up until 6 feet from your camera is in focus.
Okay.
If you then refocus your camera at 3 feet, half of that distance.
Yes.
If you change your focal point from infinity to 3 feet, what you'll find is that acceptable focus will now be 3 feet to infinity.
How can that be?
Well, that's just the way optics work. Because ultimately, once you like, you're losing a lot of your depth of field. Now, here's how depth of field works. Now, this is that's good that you ask. Now, let's well, how does it work? That's what you asked.
Yeah. No, how that's could great that, be? That I asked.
Let's say you focus on your subject is I don't know, 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you have a depth of field. Let's say your depth of field is, what's a good number? I don't know, 6 feet total. So from the front of your focus to your back of your focus, you have 6 feet that's in focus.
Okay.
But you focused on your subject. Now, what ends up happening, the way depth of field technically works, is that one third of that 6 feet will be in front of your subject, and two yes. thirds will be behind.
Right.
So you're not going to have 3 feet in front, 3 feet behind in focus.
Right.
You have two in front, four behind.
I'm still with you.
Okay. So now if you focus on infinity, well, this is, here's where it gets a little bit mind-blowing. You're going to have your depth of field is going to basically extend past infinity. Infinity and beyond, I think they say in the business.
Right.
Okay. So you're wasting a lot of your depth of field. So if you then shift that depth of field forward, now all that stuff that is your depth of field that's falling off into infinity anyway will now be shifted forward, and you'll use a lot more of it in front of your subject and still maintain as much in the back.
Makes sense. No, I just had an aha moment.
Good. I just peed a little. Okay. So why do they call it hyperfocal distance?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really care either. That's what it just sounds cool. And I like to call it HFD, which I think I'm the only one. But no one's going to call you on it. If you tell the good folks over at Godzilla, "Hey man, what's the HFD on this?" They're going to be like, "Craft Services over there, man. Why don't you go grab some Smarties and some trail mix and play with your ND filter."
Right.
Likely what they're going to say.
Yeah.
So how does this apply? I mean, like, this sounds like great technical stuff. How does it apply to me, said Adam?
How does it apply to me?
Right. Well, in the old days of film cameras, it was a lot easier. And it actually really did apply. And if you listen here, you can hear I'm playing with an old manual focus film lens, an old Canon FD lens, to illustrate the point.
Okay.
Now, on these old, the barrels of these old lenses, they had a great, great little bunch of markings on the barrel, which meant that once you focused, you had your focus line, so you'd focus like through the eyepiece, manually focused, get it sharp, and then you could look down at the lens and see how far away your focal point is. It's marked right there on the barrel.
Okay.
In fact, on the autofocus lenses now, they still have that. If you go ahead and use your autofocus and then take a look down, most lenses, the more expensive ones anyways, will have a distance marking on them.
Right.
Okay? What they don't have is the depth of field, what have you. Now, on the older lenses, they'll have markings for, say, F4, F8, 11, 16 along the barrel so that it will then tell you what your acceptable focus will be. So if I focus, let's say, I have a 50 millimeter lens here, I'm at F8, and I focus on a subject at, let's say, 5 feet away. I can look down at the lens and see that at F8, I'm going to get focus between 6 and 4.5 feet.
Okay, so 2.5 feet.
6 and 4.5?
Was that what you said?
Yeah. Four and a half to 6 feet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
1.5 feet.
Right. Yeah. But regardless, it's going to give me some hard numbers of, okay, here's where you're going to get focus.
Right.
And maybe you're fine. Maybe you don't care about that. But maybe you want to shift that entire depth of field, meaning you want to pull it back. So you know that your subject is 5 feet away, but it will be in focus at 6 feet.
Okay.
So if you now shift that and readjust so that you're focusing, you're pulling that focus forward, now all of a sudden the depth of field will drop off directly behind them and something in the foreground will be in focus that maybe you wanted to have something in the foreground in focus. Anyways, I forget what I ended on something about. Now, like, let's say you want to shift that focus. Is that what I said? I forget.
I don't know. Maybe
we got cut off. I'm just going to come out and say it. We got cut off, and so now I'm trying to scramble and put this back together. So
it's like a puzzle.
It's like a exactly. So this is going to be a weird cut, everybody. Where were we? So now we talked about now shifting that the entire depth of field forward or backwards. Maybe you want to shift it all backwards and have everything behind your subject in focus. And begin the focus right at your subject. And that way, everything in the foreground is completely blurred. That's up to you. That's the whole artistic choice, but that is how you do it. So does that make sense in terms of how to shift that whole depth of field?
It does. So, okay, so I have a question when it comes to shooting a group shot, right? Because this is where it applies to me. So if I've got a group shot... like a class photo. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So you got people and they're kind of in rows, sort of front to back, and I want to keep everybody in focus.
Correct.
Where should I aim in order to maximize that depth of field?
Okay. See, now here's the thing is if you're shooting the film, it's going to be a lot easier because you're going to see the barrel markings right away. You're going to look down and first of all, you're going to shoot this at as stop down as you can, which means hopefully maybe F11. So let's say you're shooting at F11 with this 50mm lens I'm holding, and what kind of a distance you're talking about, you have people at, say, I don't know, 10 feet.
They're going to probably be, I was going to say 10 to 15 feet away.
So 10 feet, and at F11, you're going to see focus between roughly 7 and 16 feet. But if you say maybe you want to bring that forward a little bit and get infinity involved, if you then focus at 17 feet... you're going to see everything from 10 to infinity in focus, which is going to be very helpful. However, the rub here is how do you do that on your digital lens? Because it doesn't have these markings.
Right.
I don't exactly know. I don't have now here's the situation with autofocus. I have a hard time with autofocus. I honestly, because there's so much going on, I love autofocus, first of all. I it's what I use. I don't manually focus. But I don't know how it works exactly. To me, it feels like the depth of field, what is in acceptable focus, tends to feel like it's behind my focal point.
Right.
It's stacked up. Like, I don't feel like I get a 1/3 in front and 2/3 in back with my autofocus, and I don't know why that is. It feels different with different lenses.
Of course.
I wonder if you hear a lot of people talk about, I had a real front focus problem with this lens. I don't experience that. I still get focused images, but where my focal point lies tends to vary from shot to shot, from lens to lens. So it's difficult, and this is something I miss about shooting with the old FD lenses. Now, the answer to your question, which I will answer, is I tend to focus somewhere in the middle. So if I have three rows of people, I tend to focus on somebody in the middle row.
Okay.
And that way, hopefully, I'm going to have some depth of field in front and some behind. Now, one way to do this was a couple ways you could actually really, really check this. One, if you're on a tripod and you're dialed in, go ahead and use live view and check your focus.
Right.
So go ahead and focus on the middle one and then pop it into live view and zoom around and see where the focus holds. That's just kind of a touchy feely kind of way to do it. Another way to do it, which is a little bit more, it's actually pretty cumbersome the way the cameras are designed, is to hold down your depth of field preview button, looking through the eyepiece, and try shifting focus that way. So what I would do is focus on my subject, then hold down the depth of field, and just watch what happens as you shift that depth of field back and forth using the focus ring. And that's going to give you an example of or a good feel for where your depth of field is going to lie.
Okay.
Now, this is a situation of, let's say you're taking a picture of one person. and you're on a very, very wide open, let's say you're shooting at an F2 on an 85 millimeter lens.
Okay.
And your depth of field is going to be very narrow.
Yes.
Now, the convention is focus on the eye. Great. But what does that mean? That means a blurry nose, probably.
Right. Yep.
Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you want to have a sharp eye, sharp nose. And you're gonna get a blurry ear either way. That's kind of what's going to happen. But in this situation, I've been told, and I've actually used it before, is I actually focus on the right between the eyes, the spot just above the nose, which is actually somewhat forward of your eyeball, mm-hmm. and thus is kind of a midpoint between the tip of your nose and your eyeball. So that is one way of sort of, I guess, kind of like a meatball surgery kind of thing of throwing, you know, using hyperfocal distance to your advantage.
I think that's a good tip.
To shift your focus. So that's what hyperfocal distance is, and that's how it applies to you. Now, if you're doing that, like let's say you're shooting a landscape, and you want the cactus and the other cactus to be in focus,
right.
Focus in between the two cacti.
Okay.
Focus at a midpoint. Now, again, ideally, you'd do the math and go, okay, well, technically it should be a third and two-thirds, and so where's it going to go? I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's going to be kind of hit and miss. And the good news with digital is you're going to see your failures immediately. So
right.
You can adjust.
Okay.
That is HFD. You write it down.
All right. I already wrote it down.
Oh, you know what? Next week's challenge. Do you have one?
No.
I was kind of, I left it blank. I was kind of hoping you did, or something summary or something that would.
I've had a number of good ones lined up in my mind, but I forgot them.
Okay. I know I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'll have to edit this out if it takes you too long, but I'm going to throw this right into your court and give you an easy one, like something that's going to be easy for you this week.
Awesome. I love
it. Yeah, but it's not easy thinking of one, is it?
No.
Okay, so what are you doing? Is you got stuff going on this week?
Do I have
you know
stuff
what?
Going
you
on
know what
week?
We're to do? I'm trying to think of one that's gonna, yeah, it's gonna happen. Smiling faces. Boom.
Great.
That's a softball lobbed right into your living room or something. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, probably my living room.
Softball. Smiling faces, man, because you're doing the run up to Down syndrome.
Yeah, but well, I won't have that for my photo challenge. That'll be the next week I'll have that for my photo challenge. Yeah. So maybe something with the ND filter for this week.
ND. Oh, done. ND filter. Shoot the ND filter. Now that's kind of limiting our listeners, which we've never tried. We try not to do, but oh well. Use your sunglasses.
Use your sunglasses or buy one on Amazon.
Well, maybe see what we have to say about them first.
Don't just buy one.
And
they're
that's
awesome.
What we'll do next week. We'll talk about ND filters because the sun's going to hopefully come out here in Germany and freeze the snow or thaw the snow and we'll be good. So next week's challenge, ND filter.
Okay.
Before we get to the websites, Amazon, quick ninth reminder, apparently. I think we did enough reminders in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I know. I think we threw in a few.
Because there were some that I didn't write down and you just nailed.
Yeah,
so,
that's how I
do it. You're good like that. Adam, where can people find all your good photos?
Sometimes on the Schwartz Chronicles, and my wife did post one. She actually wrote a post specifically about the run-up for Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So people can check that out on schwartzchronicles.com and the rest of my stuff on Facebook. I have been a little bit out of the loop for this week, so I'm going to post a couple of pictures I actually took with the my first go with the ND filter, which were self-portraits. So again, that's because I was the only one out there and I prefer to shoot people pictures. So I used the softbox and the ND filter together. So I'm quite happy with a couple of the results. So I'm going to post those.
You have to start stopping strangers on the street and just taking their picture.
Yeah, no, I should do that. And when I have it all rigged up, people walk by and they look. And occasionally I think, maybe I should just take a picture of them. And then I think, no, I'm way better looking than them.
No, that's true. That is, there's no question. However, the one rub with taking pictures of strangers is that oftentimes they just, okay, what's the catch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now what do I have to buy?
Yeah, that's the thing is I tell them, you don't have to buy anything. I'm going to go through your wallet when you're not looking. When you're smiling... My assistant's going to pickpocket you.
And your assistant is Emily.
Yes. Yeah, she's going to go through. She's good at it. Oh, wow. Sticky fingers, let me tell you. Yeah, that's the only rub is people seem to think there's you know, the other shoe is going to drop. Right. And in this case, it's as long as you have, you know, the two hosers cards and say, no, just check it out. And it's a good way to, you know, spread the show and potentially get work, actually. That kind of happens like that. I've done that. I've actually got work from that Stranger project I shot a few years ago.
Well, there you
so
go.
It's a good way to do it. So that's what I'm going to start hammering you. And we'll talk about shooting pictures of strangers, which you've done in the past. I know you've done.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I can do it, but then I also think is that, you know, it usually when people wander over, it's after I'm kind of done with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of done my pictures, and then I'm like, oh, do I want to just pack up and go home now, or do I want to stand here and shoot strangers?
Once that first piece of equipment is started, just started to put away,
yeah,
shoots over.
Yeah,
in my head,
I agree.
I'm like, oh, well, the momentum is really swinging towards my bag right now. And so, P.S. So there you go. Check it out on Facebook. And my stuff you can find at alnatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about all the internet stuff. That's
yeah,
it.
And maybe my Q-Box video.
And the Q-Box video will be up this week. That's yeah. It's definitely my priority.
Yeah, either that or Godzilla.
Also a self-portrait, which is nice. Yeah. So a lot of Adam this week, but that's it. Until
All right.
next week, get out there and make better photos.